Jason. You're listening to Indy 101.5 FM. CIOI.
Hello, everybody. How are you? I'm Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air, and thank you for tuning in tonight. I hope your Tuesday's been great so far, and I hope that this show just makes it a little bit better. Tonight, I am hanging out with G Sharp. G is the lead vocalist and guitarist of the GTA-based alt-rock band Road Waves. You can find G on Instagram as G Sharp Music and his band on all streaming services under Road Waves. So, hey, G.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Oh, you know, just hanging out.
Enjoying
this terrible weather.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the sooner it melts, the better, honestly. Thank you for joining me on here. This is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, likewise. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. I guess just to kind of introduce you a little bit, in case there's some people in here who are unfamiliar, how would you describe your sound and style as a musician?
I would describe, you talking like the band or myself?
You can describe yourself, and then we'll get into the band a little bit later.
Sure. I guess my style is very much like, how can I put it? Just very in the moment. Like, I've always been a player that's really liked to leave open a lot of space for improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even in the way I compose, I try to leave it so that it's, like, open for interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that reflects heavily on the band as well, because every show we play, it's kind of like, you know, we play songs, but we really jam out, and you never really know how it's going to go. We play so from the heart that, like, sometimes a song, like, we just don't even jam it out at all, and then the next time it's, like, a barn burner.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird. It's, like, it's cool, though. It makes it interesting for us at every show, too. We don't really ever get bored.
Yeah, totally. Who would you say are your biggest musical influences?
I would say probably Frank Zappa.
Mm-hmm.
Love his wacky compositions.
Oh, yeah.
Just not caring about, like, what anyone thinks, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Fish, because I just think that they're just, like, world-class improvisers. Grateful Dead for sure, because that, like, opened me to so many different types of music. I think those are my three main, and then Derek Trucks probably too. He's huge for my guitar improvisation and melody making.
So a lot of psychedelic stuff for sure.
Yep, a lot of psychedelic and just like blues rock and roots rock. I love the band too.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, because I do love jamming and psychedelic music, but I love Pink Floyd too. I just love like songs, like good songs too.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to lose that, you know, because it's like easy to lose that when you get into like really jammy rock. It's easy to like go completely in that direction and forget about like songs, like
mm-hmm.
good songs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. What would you say that you take from those influences? Maybe, you know, one artist you take their vocal style, another one you take their production. You know, what would you say you take from each of those influences for you?
Yeah, I would say, like, the Dead showed me that you can just jam and people
mm-hmm.
like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fish of showed me that you can just like completely like do it in an even crazier. It's hard to explain even what Phish does, but I think they just like can hold tension for so long, and it's, and like they don't care. Like if people don't, some people don't like that, but a lot of people do. So it kind of showed me that you can break the rules. Frank Zappa showed me that you like compositions, like. If you just put some work in, you can write really creative and authentic pieces. Mm-hmm. Like you can never like accidentally write a Frank Zappa song. Yeah. Like you know what I mean? Derek Trucks for sure is just like my guitar inspiration. He's just like my favorite guitar player.
Totally. Do you remember what you listened to as a kid? What sort of your family played around the house when you were growing up? And what sort of impact do you feel as though those early influences have on your current style today?
Ooh, that's a good question. When I was growing up, my mom played a lot of Arabic music in the car. And I remember singing along to that stuff. And I feel like that definitely affected like my melodies these days. Because like when I'm improvising, I do always lean towards this like melodic minor sort of scale, which is very like Arabian sometimes, or Spanish, I guess too. But yeah, I know it definitely affected me. And then, growing up, got into like country music and then like bluegrass and stuff like that. Which certainly helped me write songs like Smile and stuff like that. Yeah.
Totally. And what was the first time that you listened to a piece of music and you thought, wow, I wish I made that? I find that a lot of musicians get into music because they discover something that inspires them in a way where they go, wow, like I wish I could create something like that, right? Something that creates that kind of feeling in me. Do you have a piece of music that did that for you?
Like my want for to be a musician went back as far as I can remember, so there wasn't really I think a thing. It was more like for me what got me to actually commit to music was me and my friend got really good at Guitar Hero, and I just kind of had this like moment with myself like, wow, I like spent all this time getting really good at this thing. I could have just like put it into guitar. So I just did that, and I was just like, I'm gonna start learning like little theme songs and stuff. Because I always wanted to play. Like, there wasn't, like, a song or anything that I wanted. It was more of just, like, in my soul. I knew I have this, like, grade 4 project that's up at my mom's house wall. And it's, like, me talking about how I wanted to, like, play music and stuff.
And how did you first get into creating music? Did you start on an instrument? Did you start with vocals? What came first for you?
It was with guitar.
With guitar?
Yeah. I mean, actually, when I was a kid, I was like, I did love to sing. So, like, I guess technically that came first.
Yeah. Yeah. And so did the guitar kind of take center stage first, would you say?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely think of myself as a guitar player more than a singer.
Totally. Yeah. And how was that journey? When did you get a guitar yourself? Did you enter lessons? How did that go?
So I used to work at this House of Cuban Cigars, like underage.
Nice.
And I didn't do anything. I didn't sell like Cuban cigars or anything. I just like cleaned the glass and stuff like that. But I saved my money and I bought this acoustic guitar that was probably in like grade 7 or 8, I want to say, which is around the time that I started. It was like probably 6 to 7 months after I started playing. What was the other side of that question?
Yeah. And did you take lessons?
Oh yeah. No, I didn't really take lessons for a long time. Not until like high school, not until like probably grade 11 or 10 or 11 ish. And then it wasn't for that long either. It was always like a couple months and then I couldn't afford it. But technically I did take lessons. I would just go on YouTube and watch different like lesson videos.
Right. What do you think was the biggest takeaway from taking lessons from the time that you did?
Oh, it's just that, you save so much time. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many things that they explain to you that you wouldn't figure out on your own. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's a whole theory system. Yeah. You're not going to, stumble upon that. Like, you can make little, assumptions in your head and stuff, but once you learn that stuff, it's a language. It's like, you could learn English without learning how to, write it or, conceptualize it, mm-hmm. The grammar and stuff and the punctuation, but, it certainly helps, right?
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. And would you like to learn any other instruments that you don't play already?
Yeah, technically I do kind of play piano because mm-hmm. I know the theory well enough to, know every chord and mm-hmm. I have good enough timing to, play through a song or whatever, but I don't actually play it. I can't actually sit down and read sheet music and play along. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I would love to be able to do eventually. And I need to get an actual piano.
Yeah.
And just start playing.
Yeah. That's a big investment. Are you looking at a keyboard maybe?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. It's I'm always on the road. So it's I never really have time. I guess in the winter time I could try, but.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. And when you first started learning the guitar, do you find that you were confident from the get-go, or did that take a bit of time to gain that confidence?
It took so much time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not until we got a year or two into touring, mm-hmm. which was deep into my playing, mm-hmm. that I really started to get confidence because it became a routine and you just get good at things when you do them every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it took a long time. And I remember so many experiences with musicians that I looked up to and talking to them about their anxiety and them talking about how it was just the switch in their mind that where one day they just didn't. And I went through that too, where it's just one day you're just, I still get nervous for big shows or whatever, but for the most part, it's you just get into this ritual. You find your ritual and you get it just, I don't know, that it flips. It becomes that's where I feel the most calm now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the place that I can express myself the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I think at first you get nervous because you know that you're not necessarily that full expressive mode yet.
Right. Mm-hmm. And was that a similar journey for you with vocals?
I'm getting there. I would say, I would say I still cringe at my own vocals when I hear
them. Sure.
Yeah.
We all do. And did you ever take vocal lessons?
I took vocal class in grade 12.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped me with a lot of technique and how to practice. But I never really, I'm a quick learner, so now I know how to work on it. So mm-hmm. I never really pursued it that hard, but anytime I tackle a difficult song now, I know how to do it without hurting myself and working towards it and trying to find the right key to play it in. I learned all that stuff in that one class. So I'm happy that happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I feel now I'm a tiny bit of an authority, when it comes to helping my friends know how to breathe and all that first lesson stuff that you learn.
Yeah. Oh, you're a handy friend then.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Do you remember when you started creating music? So when that sort of switch happened between when you were playing music and learning songs from big artists and then you started creating on your own. Do you remember when that happened?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This was in the days that I got really into screamo music.
Mm-hmm.
I was in grade 9.
Totally.
And there was this band, it was my friend's cousin's band, and they were this screamo band, and they were super tight. I had never seen people play that I knew, and it was so inspiring. I remember me and my friends sitting in the basement and watching it on rerun on YouTube and just being in amazement. We were we want to do a band like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the moment that we kind of started just making our own stuff. And even back then, I still remember us jamming a lot. I've never not improvised. I feel like that's always been a part of me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. Do you remember what you started creating when you were writing music for that first time? And do you remember the first song that you wrote?
Yes, and hope that they don't exist anywhere.
Right.
They're bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They gotta be, you know?
Yeah, I forget what it was. I think it was called, like, By Your Side or something like that.
Right. Amazing. When did you begin to look at music as something more than a hobby?
Pretty early on, actually, because in grade 10, I joined this classic rock cover band. Mm. And they became my best friends, actually, before I joined it.
Mm-hmm.
And then their guitar player kind of stopped submitting. And so I filled in because I already knew all the songs. I would jam with them anyways. So, and they would play gigs. Like, this was the first time I had been exposed to a band that played gigs every weekend at a bar before we were even legal age.
Right.
So I was, like, stoked to be a part of this band because now I got to go to bars.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really drink or anything, but it was like, you know, you're a kid and you're like, well, I get to be on the inside now. We had to have our parents there.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But, and then we started making, like, a lot of money. Like, I remember making quite a lot of money for a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, 2 gigs a weekend, $100 each per
nice.
Gig. So it was pretty cool. And then at that point, I was like, all right, I think this is actually a feasible job.
Mm-hmm. Cool. When did you join your first band or perform solo? And what was that experience like?
First band I had was a band called the Beehive Gorillas.
Nice.
And it was in grade 8.
Mm-hmm.
And my first solo act. So, okay, let me tell you a little bit about this band. It was it was a trio, and there was no vocals.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 3 songs. I forget what the songs were called, but I remember one of them was called Blue Eggs and Cheese. Just silly stuff, but it was like instrumental rock, like alt rock kind of stuff, I guess.
Cool.
And my first solo thing, I would say, actually came really late.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my first solo thing was probably in, like, 2015 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's always kind of just been, like, a thing I did on the side, not really. Like, if I needed a couple extra dollars, I would go play some. I just like to play music with people. I never have felt like I'm, like, a standalone musician. Although, mm-hmm. it doesn't feel that way when I'm on stage playing solo. Like, I totally feel capable. But when I'm off stage, I don't feel, like, inclined to book more shows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. And with that first band that you had in grade 8, did you do, like, school talent shows or anything? Did you,
We did one assembly. I forget what it was. It might have been a talent show. I don't think it was like a competition style one, though. It was more of just like a couple bands played.
Sure.
And then I remember we like learned, I forget what song we learned, but we learned a song and we were going to play it at the end of the year assembly. And our principal was like, what? You already played a song. You can't do another one. And we were like, what?
I guess he didn't like you.
No, I guess not.
Yeah. He was like, you guys suck. You can't come back.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't get to call that.
That's funny. How did your family and friends react to you pursuing music?
I think it was pretty well received all around. Like, there was no opposition.
That's good.
I've never been told to, like, turn down, but I've also never been, like, allowed. I just, like, I don't know. I'm, like, an anomaly to sound guys. Because they're always telling me to turn up. And they're always coming up to me and saying, I never have to tell guitar players to turn up. And I'm like, that feels like a compliment.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that, you know, there's no pushback there. I know a lot of families, you know, when people are entering music, they tend to be like, oh, you know, it's an arts, you know, you're not going to make a lot of money in that. And
I remember, like, my mom telling me, to just do it and like follow my heart and not worry too much about the money. Like, of course, like be smart about it, but don't let that like completely control your life.
Well, that's fantastic.
Good to have that.
Oh yeah. Good advice. Yeah. Where did you grow up?
I was born in Mississauga.
Okay.
I grew up there for a little bit, but mostly grew up in Niagara Falls.
Okay, okay. And what was the music scene like in your hometown growing up?
To be honest, like, I wasn't really a part of the music scene until, like, until Roadway started.
Sure.
Or maybe before, a tiny bit before that when I was in a different group. I would say it was, like, decent. Something was definitely crackling around then, but it didn't really, I don't know, I just don't think we have, like, the infrastructure to support it. Like, there's not really a lot of great music venues or, like, there's some decent arts funding, for sure. I don't want to knock it completely, like, you know, every city has their problems, but, yeah, I just feel like I go to other cities and something about it has, like, a tighter community. I'm not really sure what it is.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, I mean,
but
you know,
part of it is maybe like Niagara Falls is a very much a tourist town. So like a lot of the money kind of goes towards that.
Yeah. And I mean, growing up somewhere like Niagara Falls versus like Toronto or Hamilton, the music scenes are definitely going to be look different.
Like anyone that gets good at their craft kind of goes there. Right. So kind of left with I mean, like, I will say Niagara has so much talent. Like,
oh, yeah.
We have, like, an unlimited amount of talent. So it's not really even that. It's just, like, yeah, there's just not, like, the infrastructure for it.
And that's why people move away, right? Exactly. Is that they just can't support themselves there.
Unless you're a cover band, that's the thing.
There we go.
And that's why we started touring very, very early, because, like, unless you do that, you can't really make it the full-time thing.
Yeah, totally. What do you think could be improved about the scene where you grew up?
Yeah, I just think, like, more venues. Like, I don't feel like I'm even the authority on this, so, like, don't even take what I'm saying with, like, a grain of salt. I don't know, more funding. Like, or easier accessible funding. I always find that the funding is, like, the criteria is just, like, I don't know. It just feels like, all right, well, like, you need, like, all this community service or whatever. It's like, well, we just went through, like, 2 years of a pandemic. I don't think anyone was, like, in the community.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff like that.
There wasn't much community during the pandemic.
Just, you know, and like, even with, like the nationwide, like, factor grants and stuff like that. There's just not enough to go around. And that's not really, I don't think, their fault. Like, it's just, if there was more allocations to arts funding, people would just be happy. They're, like, we've all seen the studies of, you know, when a city puts more money towards arts, people are just generally happier. Stimulates the economy.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, tourism improves, everybody's happier. It's a no-brainer.
And, for sure.
Yeah, I see that you've played quite a few gigs here in Hamilton and, you know, my radio show, and I'm mainly based here. What do you think of the Hamilton music scene, and how would you compare it to the Niagara scene?
I love the Hamilton music scene. It's like kind of our second home at this point.
Cool.
Yeah, I love playing there. All the bands there are great. Everyone's so nice. People love the music. I don't like to necessarily compare music scenes, just because it's, I don't feel like it's a completely fair. I would have to compare more of, like, the politics. Like, the politics are probably better for funding and stuff like that. But yeah, no, it's, I love Hamilton a lot. It's great. We just played there a couple weeks ago at Corktown, and that was super fun with the Belays. And we're doing a show on the 28th of this month with Rise Carmine Band. And the Dreamland Band at
Exciting
Mills Hardware.
Cool. That's fantastic. What do you think is unique about the Hamilton scene?
Good question. I think what's unique about the Hamilton scene is you see a lot of the same faces at like every genre concert there. Like I see so many of the same people at like the punk shows there, and like there's just a bunch of music lovers there, and it's great. Whereas
kind of...
maybe in Niagara, I find that you do, it is very, not clicky, I don't want to use that word because it's got a like negative spin to it, but it is very much people are like stuck to their genres.
I think in Hamilton, our music scene is like very much like a big community. And I think we've got that, even though we're a city and like, you know, a decently big city, we're kind of, we're very small townish, I find. And it's very true what you're saying. You see the same people everywhere. It's a little, it's very small townish. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, it's, I've heard it referred to as what Toronto used to be, which makes sense because Toronto's so big now.
Right.
But I assume that's how it felt like decades ago there.
I'm sure. Yeah. Who do you, oh, saying that wrong. One second. Who are some talented local artists that you think deserve more spotlight?
Great question. Gravely James is great.
Okay.
Solo blues. Well, sometimes he plays with the band too. Who's underrated? Old Child, for sure.
Okay.
They're a great soulful band. Little Nerves is amazing. They're like three out of four of the members are members of My Southern Hurricane. And the other one is Drifter, his solo act. But Little Nerves, look up Little Nerves on Spotify. They're so good.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. Who else? June's a great band. I know Nicole gets a lot of feedback on Instagram, but I do find sometimes that they're, I go to their shows and they're a bit empty, so people should check out Jin, the band, J-I-N.
Do it, guys.
They're cool.
All right. And who would you say is like a dream collaborator of yours? And you can go big on this one. You can choose literally anyone. Who would you love to make music with?
That's a great question. Derek Trucks. But I feel like, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those weird things where it's like imposter syndrome. It's like, does he even need me? But no, that would totally, if, like, if he hit me up, that'd be like the peak of my career.
Yeah, totally.
For sure.
And who's a local band that you think you can make a great project with?
Ooh, that's a great question too. Let me think about that.
Yeah.
I do think I'm going to have to say Little Nerves again. I feel like if Little Nerves collabed on a song with Roadwave somehow, like a double drummer, like Allman Brothers thing, I don't even know. It would be sweet.
Cool. Well, I hope that happens someday.
Yeah, I hope that too.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So we're going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play everyone a recent single from Roadwaves. Hometown is the band's latest song, and it's a groovy, horn-filled jam about restlessness, craving adventure, and touring on the road.
Thank you.
For anyone just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air, and tonight I'm speaking with the vocalist of the GTA alt-rock band Road Waves, G Sharp. We just came back from playing Hometown, which is the band's most recent single. How long did that song take to write?
I actually wrote it pretty quickly. And what's funny about the writing process of that song is I was trying to write a different song, and I just couldn't figure it out. So I went to put my guitar down, and I heard the verse melody in my head and just picked up the guitar and recorded the idea real quick and kind of wrote itself there. But the key change for the guitar solo kind of came like at the very end. It was like a last minute idea.
Yeah.
But that was like a very quick thing.
Cool, cool. And where are the lyrics? Sorry, one sec. Let me re-say that. Okay. And where do the lyrics come from?
I wrote them as well. Like, it was pretty much all happened. One of those rare songs that kind of all happened together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Minus the key change in the guitar solo.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And what are they inspired by?
So it was like right when the pandemic started.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if you read the words, it's essentially just about wanting to go on tour, back on tour, because we had a huge U.S. tour that got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like my vent/open letter to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. I'm sure everyone can relate to that.
Yeah.
Totally. And who did you record and produce that song with?
So it's recorded at Stonehouse Recording in St. Catharines, Ontario. And the producer's name's Russ Donahue.
Mm-hmm.
And we recorded actually our last single with him as well, Hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just awesome. He's just become a friend over time. And it's always a good vibe going there. I don't ever feel like I'm in a rush or pressured to do anything. It's always a very, like, it's a good hang. It's not like wasting time hang, but it's like comfortable hang. Like,
right.
It's not this like sterile studio that's like don't touch anything sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's great. Stonehouse Recording, awesome, and he just gets better.
Cool, cool. And what do you hope your listeners will take away from that track?
I guess just the emotion, like the sax solo and the guitar solo, I feel like capture a lot of like sadness and like longing feeling that was trying to be portrayed, but also the groove of it's pretty like funky. So it's a great driving tune. I just encourage everyone to blast that in their car and cruise to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I see that you also released a music video for the song Hometown. Where did that idea come from?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember the answer to.
Sure.
It was one of those ideas that we just all agreed was like a fun, hilarious idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
While we were at the studio, and Jordan Tessier from Render Trap animated that.
Cool.
You can find him on Instagram. Has rendered that.
Mm-hmm.
And just one of those like silly ideas. It wasn't really too much thought behind it.
Yeah.
It was we kind of tried to include like little inside jokes or like even just like how the kid alien was playing the keyboards, and he hopped in our van.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've been looking for a keyboard player. So it was just little stuff like that. Like,
right.
Just like trying to tie it into our story a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So did you guys have a lot of thought and like say in the creative process as the artist was animating it?
Like 50-50. It was kind of more like we'd like give them suggestions, and a lot of them made it, but like some of them it was more of just like too time consuming or just didn't logistically make sense once we got to the point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes we'd like have cool ideas, but they didn't fit the like timeline plot.
Sure, sure.
So just like it doesn't make sense like timeline wise, and so we just have to like ask ideas. But It was a very collaborative, but I would say I would give most of the credit to him, though. It was definitely a lot, way more him than it was any of us.
Yeah, of course, of course. And does the final project look like what you originally envisioned?
I would say no, but I would also say that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, I had a different idea in my head of what style, I guess, it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it turned out was awesome, too, so there's no complaints.
Yeah, especially when you're handing off that project to an artist. It's like you have an idea in your head, and then they put their spin on it, and you're like, wow, like that's so much better than I imagined, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, and it's like there's no way I could have done that myself, so mm-hmm. It's like there's no complaints for me. I think it's amazing.
Yeah. Now, it looks like Hindsight was the latest single before Hometown. And how long did it take to write that single?
That one actually took kind of long. I remember I was going through some writer's block. I think it was at the end of our 2019 summer tour. And I was just trying my best to write a song. I remember like forcing everyone to in the hotel rooms to like just play along with me and try to get ideas going. It took a couple months for that song. But it is quite a long song, and there's a lot of twists and turns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. And what's that song about?
It's kind of just exactly what the title suggests.
Yeah.
Looking back and how much easier it is to when you're looking back, and kind of a optimistic message to people of like everything's going to be okay sort of thing. Like when you look back, you always are like, oh, I could have done this. I could have done that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was also one of those lyrics that I wrote that was very open for interpretation and was kind of spooky because there's like a lot of talk about like the fires burning and stuff. And when we dropped it, there was like all those fires happening. And I was like, oh no, did I like manifest this?
Right. That would not be great.
No, but I really enjoy that song. But it's crazy to hear how it's the same studio, same producer, and the obvious jump in quality. And me and Russ have talked about this, how far we've come along in the past 2 years in terms of the sound and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. And, So when it comes to your writing process, is it usually just you who writes the song, or is it sometimes a collaborative effort? What would you say?
Yeah, I'd say mostly me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll mostly write the structure and the lyrics. Sometimes I get like really control freak about it.
Sure.
And then I, you know, over time I've learned to let go of that a bit more, but we've also all gotten better, so it's easier to do that. It's the way it comes out now is better than in my head sometimes, so it's great. And back in the day, we would play it terribly, and it'd be like, no, like, try this and try that and try this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then there are moments where I really do try to pressure collaboration, like, because it's fun. And I'm always in the mode of, like, trying to write more songs, but not every musician is, you know what I mean? A lot of musicians kind of just are content, like, learning other people's songs, and it's great. You know, we need those people. But sometimes I like to, like, just keep the band on their toes and try to force everyone to bring an idea to the table or something like that. Even if it doesn't make it to a song, it's still a good exercise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure, yeah. And what do you hope your listeners will take away from Hindsight?
Because I haven't actually listened to that song in a while, so
sure.
It's hard to remember, like, exactly. We don't play that too much right now because we don't have a keyboardist.
Mm-hmm.
It's very keyboard-heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess the takeaway from that is, I guess that with that song, too, I wanted to showcase, like, that we're pretty jammy, because it does get very jammy in that song.
Right.
Because a lot of our songs weren't. There's a lot of songs we have that aren't that jammy, I guess, for being a jam band.
Mm-hmm.
We're more of like a live jam band thing. But yeah, takeaway with that. And then the takeaway, I guess, lyrically, just that we're all together in all of this thing we call life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good message. And you've begun playing shows again since the COVID restrictions have been lifting and all that stuff. How has that been? And what was the first show that you played back?
Been really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Good weird. Like, it feels amazing when I'm there. It's just like taking a bit to get used to because I'm so used to not being around so many people anymore.
Totally. Yeah.
And I'm like an introvert anyway, so it's like tour kind of, it takes me a bit to get used to with that. I think the first show we played back was Toronto at the Annex Social. Mm-hmm. And it was like the day after masks, or no, passports. Yeah, passports and masks. You didn't need them, but you still had to like sit down or something like that. Like, I forget what it was, but then I remember Hamilton was the first real show we played, like with nothing, no rules.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird. It was awesome, but it was so weird. It was a great show. Probably one of the best shows of my life.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, for introverts, I am one as well. It's like spending so much time inside by yourself and then like expecting to jump right back into, you know, full capacity and everything. It's, you know, it's hard.
Yeah. And it's crazy because I didn't really have like, I usually am booking like early in the fall for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of, what I didn't have it in me to do it this time around because it got canceled so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't start booking till like second or third month of this year, but it's like I already have so much booked. It all just kind of like poured in. Everything just opened so fast.
Yeah, really. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the amount of work to do right now is crazy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Do you have any shows coming up? I know you mentioned one a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. So this Friday we're playing in Windsor at Meteor.
Okay.
With a band called Sirius Festival. And then the next day we're playing in Sarnia at Paddy Flaherty's. And then next week we're doing like a 4-day run. We're doing the Hamilton show on Thursday, April 28th at Mills Hardware. And then the next day, we're opening up for David Wilcox at London Music Hall.
Cool.
Yeah, that one's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
And then the next day, we're playing at the historic Red Dog in Peterborough.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, we're playing in Montreal at Le Petit Marche, I think it's called. And I think that's how you pronounce it.
We've got a lot coming up.
Yeah, and that's just like 1/8 of it. I don't feel like reading the rest of it.
Yeah. Well, that's so exciting.
But if you want to find that, just go on roadwaves.ca.
Well, there we go, guys. Go
and
do it.
Find it on there.
Go look for it. And do you have a favorite single from Roadwaves?
I think Hometown's my favorite thing that we've ever done.
Cool.
Sound quality-wise, writing-wise, especially for like a funky tune, I would say I have some other favorites that are like that more ballady type songs, but this song definitely, to me, like, I just feel like we reached to this new level.
And what do you think is the biggest difference between Roadwaves when they started versus Roadwaves now?
We were a lot more raw back then. I mean, as every band is when they first start, we were just like more emotionally charged than we were. Like, I guess now we're still pretty emotionally charged, but we have more like of the logic side of just getting better at our instrument.
Sure.
Back in the day, it was very like loose and didn't really make a lot of sense sometimes. Nowadays, we're much more refined as musicians. We've done so many cool musical exercises and learned cool, like, albums for Halloween and stuff, and it's really just fine-tuned us to a certain sound.
Totally.
And just all the time on the road. Like, we've done huge tours for the past, since like 2016.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing like coast to coast tours. So we've just had a lot of stage time since starting.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did Road Waves meet?
So, okay. So our there's just like so much to cover.
Yeah.
So the original lineup, the only person that's still in the lineup is me and the drummer.
Okay.
So the drummer was the drummer of that classic rock cover band I was telling you about in high school.
Right.
So he's been my drummer through like all of like my whole entire like career of music, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we had so our first bass player was also in that classic rock cover band, but he's not in the band anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then our rhythm guitar player, original rhythm guitar player, became our bass player for a long time. And then he recently left the band.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have a different bass player, but he was like, sort of my neighbor. He lived in the same complex as me when we were kids, and mm-hmm. me and him started playing guitar together. He was the guy that I played Guitar Hero with.
Cool.
And we decided to learn guitar, so it was like very much a best friend band for a long time. It still is with me and the drummer, and I hope it becomes with the new bass player, Dave. He just joined, and he's a great guy, and he's a great bass player, so it's very promising.
Yeah.
We're about to do a full year of touring with him, so we'll see what happens.
Crazy. I mean, you got to get close if you're touring for a year together, so.
Exactly, and he seems great. Like, we've hung out enough for the past, like, 5 or 6 months to really get to know him, and he's a great guy. Just loves music.
Cool. Great to have.
Yeah.
And where do you hope to see the band in 5 years?
It's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I hope to see the band playing, you know, mid-tier festivals, headlining mid-tier festivals,
mm-hmm.
jam festivals, a lot of them in the States. I hope, I know by then we'll be doing more overseas stuff, probably in the next couple of years, start doing some Europe stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just overall, I just hope we're still a band.
Yeah, that's all you can hope for.
So many things can happen in between. I just hope we're still playing together and enjoying it.
Yeah, totally. Besides music, are there any other forms of art that you're passionate about, or any other forms of art that you've wanted to dip your toes into but haven't yet?
Yeah, so I'm really into graphic design.
Cool.
And it was a hobby for a long time. Like, I actually started doing graphic design maybe before I started playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Mr. Dunlop, the other grade 7 teacher, or no, the other grade 8 teacher
mm-hmm.
in my school, used to do the computer class, and sometimes I'd stay after school and he would show me like Photoshop tips, and it just became this like fun thing I would do. And I was pretty bad at it for a long time, and recently I've gotten pretty confident and like addicted to it again. And I've been kind of doing like poster commissions.
Yeah.
For some extra money. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm guessing, do you make a lot of stuff for Road Waves then?
Yeah. I make most of our posters, but if there's a show that I know is kind of going to do well, I'll usually try to find an artist. I use this guy named Phil Nichols. I think that's how you pronounce his last name.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from Hamilton, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on that, but
okay.
He did some cool stuff, and he did our recent past 2 Hamilton show posters.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. What about like single and album artwork? Do you do that, or do you usually grab someone else?
Yeah, I did the hometown one. The Hindsight one was this awesome painter / other art forms of art, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Farnsworth, he's from St. Catharines.
Cool.
And he's in like fine arts museums or all around the world. Like, I don't even know what his repertoire is, but I know he like sells his pieces for like huge amounts of money. He's an amazing artist, super creative and just like distinct. When you see his art, like you look at Hindsight and then you look at another piece of his art and you're like, okay, I'm starting to see like what kind of an artist he is. And he's just so eccentric and like I used to hang out with him all the time and you see him start a piece and it's one of those things where it looks like nothing until like 70% in and you're like, holy, like how did you do that? Mm-hmm. Like how did you come up, how did you keep your focus long enough to turn that into something?
Yeah.
So Jeff did the, so yeah, if you look up Jeff Farnsworth, it's G-E-O-F-F Farnsworth on Instagram, you'll find a lot of his art there.
Cool. That must be super cool to have one of his originals then as your single artwork.
Yeah, I actually have the physical somewhere in here.
Nice. That's super cool. And what have you found to be the most difficult part of the creation process for you personally? Bit of a deep question.
I think it's probably lyrics. Just because, like I said, I've always been more of a guitar player.
Sure.
And I do enjoy poetry, but it's not as much of the forefront of my mind as like melody is and stuff and harmony. Usually what's holding up a song is that I haven't written like the third verse or something like that.
Right.
So yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah. Do you use any?
I hate just writing lyrics just because I need them.
Do you use any like resources or anything to help you out with that?
No, but I should. I know, I've heard of people using like thesauruses and stuff, but I've just, and I guess I never think of that. I always want it to come straight from my brain.
Right. No, totally. And what are your goals for 2022?
Just to have a successful U.S. tour, because this is our first, 2020 was supposed to be our first year doing a U.S. tour.
Mm-hmm.
It got postponed to this year. And
yeah.
We got a visa, we got approved, which was the first step. So now I'm just hoping that everything goes smooth with that and nothing gets shut down again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just because we spent a lot of money on the visas and stuff. So just I'm hoping that like we don't have to waste any more money. My goal is to like not be in the hole by the end of the year again.
Yeah, that would be great. That's a great goal. Yeah. Is there anywhere that you're really looking forward to visiting in the U.S.?
Yeah, there's a couple of spots in the U.S., St. Paul, Minnesota, Duluth, just spots where I have friends that live there and I want to see them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite, like, besides obviously playing music, one of my favorite parts about touring is stopping in and seeing friends that I never get to see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did you meet those friends? Is that like an online sort of friendship?
Yeah, a lot of those are online, like music producer or like rappers or other musicians.
Cool. All right. And what can we look forward to seeing from you?
You can look forward to more dates, more show dates. And if everything goes right, another single by like early July.
Ooh.
Or late June. We'll see what happens.
Cool.
And then probably another single in the fall.
Awesome. All right. Lots to look forward to. So, yeah. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, G. This was great.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. So everybody listening, you can find G on Instagram as G Sharp Music and his band on all streaming services under Road Waves. And we're going to wrap up this episode with another single from Road Waves. Lakeshore Drive is one of the singles off the band's 2018 album and is about tripping on LSD after a Grateful Dead concert.
Hey everyone, I'm G from the band Road Waves, and you're listening to Hot Shots on Air on Indie 101.5.